Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina is located on Highway 360, just south of West Bank Drive. Chad and Kevin are brought to you by Coors Light.
Time is a flat circle. If everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it!
With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports. The Horn, 1049, AM 1260, and hornfm.com.
Afternoon delight.
Dr. Goddamn got water, and I know you can carry on.
Hour number two on a Tuesday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, making sure it's running smoothly. Hope you're having a good March 19th of 19. A couple of Longhorn options for you tonight. Texas in the NIT at 8 at the Drum. Texas playing baseball against Arkansas at 6:30 over at the Dish. We've talked about those. We've talked about a lot of other stuff. Some football items are out there as well. And we will definitely check the Specs text line. Some good texts coming in on the Specs text line at 337-3776. Also, a reminder, in an hour, we will try to help you fill out your brackets by letting someone talk to you that's better at it than we are. Chris Raybon of the Action Network. We had him on during football season. We'll get his thoughts on how the Action Network can help you fill out your brackets before Thursday morning. That's coming up at 5. And then at 6 o'clock, Bitter White Guy from BarkingCarnival.com to talk Texas basketball as we head into this NIT game. What is he hearing about Shaka Smart and the future? And what does he think Shaka Smart needs to do to get on a little run here and maybe, you know, make an argument that there should be a future? We'll get into all of that. Anything particular we need to start this hour with?
I am curious with just kind of the whole Shaka situation, where that is right now. I do feel like that's probably up in the air. But I think one of the things that I've mentioned a couple times that has to be thought of, and we can hit this and hit a bunch of stuff, so we don't need to stick on this, but that the CDC know who he really wants?
Does he have his list? Does he have a list?
Well, of course he has a list, but I mean, is there one guy?
Does he have a favorite on that list?
Right. Is there one guy that he really wants to go get? Does he know he can get? And does he really have that feeling? Or does he maybe want another year?
Yes, that's a good question. The thing hit me today, I could argue that the Texas football coaching job and the Texas baseball coaching job kind of have a certain feel to me. There's a certain vibe that I need to feel from that guy. But I don't know if basketball quite has that. When you, as a Texas fan, when you think of the Texas basketball job, is there some, like, resume, you know, bullet points you need him to hit? Or is it really an open-minded kind of idea for you?
It's an open-minded idea. The only question I've always had, and I mentioned this on the air before, DeLoss even mentioned this years ago. Does it have to look a certain way? So with Texas baseball, as I mentioned last week, what do y'all do? We pitch, we bunt, we play defense, and we get some timely hits. But you're not a power team? Nope. But you win? Oh, yeah, we're good. Football? Wishbone. Spread now. Don't care. Just win.
Right.
Basketball, to get people out there. Now, if they won and really won, people would come out. And we've seen that before. But maybe even in the middle of that, as you're getting to that point, does it need to look a certain way to actually get some asses in the seats?
I mean, my gut would tell me that wins would still be wins. If you tell a Texas fan they're 18-2 to start a season.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So 18-2 is different.
Aren't they going to go no matter what they're playing?
Yeah, but what if you're 15-7?
Then they might want to know the offense you're running?
Or just kind of, what it looks like.
Yeah, maybe that's fair. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe if you're a Texas fan, let us know on the Specs text line, 337-3776. As you think about it, if it is indeed moving on from Shaka Smart, is there something you need? Is there something your eyeballs need, maybe, to get out to the Irwin Center outside of wins? Or is it just that? Are you the kind of fan that's going to do just what you do in those other sports and say, go fast, go slow, go defense, go offense, just win.
Just win.
Just give us wins and we will support it.
Winning will look good.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if the Longhorns can get a win tonight. They're favored by 9 points to do it tonight against South Dakota State. Someone texted earlier and said, you better contact Bucky's cousin as soon as possible because there's no way Texas covers this game, apparently. So there are those that think Texas is not covering.
That seemed like a lot for a team that can shoot and score.
And this is not and Texas is not good in close games. They're 5-12 in games that are single digits. So,
well, Vegas doesn't think it'll be close, though.
That's true. That's right. Vegas thinks it's going to be 9.5 or 10. So they think it's going to be double digits, which they would be 11-4 in those games. This says Texas had trouble hitting three pointers from the regular line. How do they expect them to hit them if they're moving it back even further?
Well, and that's where the question would come in: does it deter guys that don't need to be shooting those? The DOs of the world, really everyone on this roster, outside of Febres.
I mean, to me, no, because it is the difference is what it's a foot, right? It's a foot and 8 inches. They're not going to notice that. They're just going to shoot. They're going to find a line and they're going to shoot.
They'll notice it for sure. We'll see if it affects them. It should spread the floor theoretically. Mm-hmm. And this team, any legislation that helps this team with spacing, I'm down for.
I agree with that. Totally agree with that. Anything that can maybe make Dylan Osetkowski play more like a big than a smaller player, that's good. Anything that allows Kerwin Roach to cut through areas, right? Give him, you know, cut lanes.
It should do that.
I think all of that is good. And, boy, I hope that Dylan Osetkowski has the same mindset he had in the last game. He was the only Longhorn that came to play. He better show up in this one. And you hate to put the extra pressure on him, but because Hazed doesn't play, I mean, Osetkowski's got to be there because this team, this South Dakota State team, revolves everything around a 6'9 forward. Osetkowski's got to be ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be a big matchup for him. As you mentioned, Hayes will not play. And we'll see what Snoop Roach can do. And Matt Coleman, too. Matt Coleman's been up and down. There were times this year. I mean, think about how Matt Coleman started Big 12 playoff. He was leading the conference in assist-to-turnover ratio. He was dynamic. He was good. Maybe needed to be more aggressive and score a little bit, but he has been as up and down as this team has been.
Yeah, he has. Last game for him was bad. That was definitely one of the reasons. You're right. A lot of ups and downs for Texas. We'll see what that looks like tonight. Somebody texted, "How am I going to notice the size of the lane changing if I'm not watching this BS?"
Yeah, I know.
And then said, "Just kidding." But I understand. I understand where you're going.
I get you.
That's fair.
One thing I took from last night that is pretty impressive. I don't know if you checked out any of the Spurs win over the Warriors. But this is a team that is once again, they figured it out. We called them. We said they were dead. We said it was over with. And they're finding ways to win basketball games.
They ate the worst rodeo road trip they've ever had. And it didn't even matter. Everybody forgot them at that point.
Yep.
And it just continues to be... They continue to be themselves, right? What's 9 in a row at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I watched SportsCenter, and I didn't get a chance to see the game live, but I watched SportsCenter and Legler's breaking down all the defensive possessions they had late and how good a work they were doing defensively. They've gotten the play they needed out of the guard position, but they work. You know, they're just impressive to watch. Even if you don't root for them, you got to respect what they're doing. They're one of those teams that, especially when you create a 4 out of 7 vibe in the playoffs, they're the worst kind of team to face sometimes in that setting. Because you can get them once, but you've got to find a way to do it 4 out of 7. They're going to be a tough out. And just credit to Popovich, man. He's the Belichick. He's Mount Rushmore stuff. I was trying to think today who I would put on the Mount Rushmore of NBA coaches. I think he's got to be there. I don't know who my fourth guy is, but I think he's there. Absolutely.
He's got, so they're only 6 games out now, and they're right there with Oklahoma City, but they've been great at home. You mentioned that the rodeo road trip was not good for them. They're 29-7 at home. That's the best home record, I think, in the Western Conference. So, yeah, I mean, it's Pop, and it's kind of what they're doing. It's, you know, it's typical San Antonio.
What is their overall record right now?
13 over.
Okay.
13 over 500.
So I'll give my man Patrick credit, the guy that we work with. He's a big Spurs fan. And he threw this stat at me, and I had to jot it down. And it's just absolutely silly. I hadn't heard it until he said it. But in the last 22 years, the stat is how many days an NBA team has spent under 500. Did you hear this number yet?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty funny.
The days spent under with a sub 500 record, the Dallas Mavericks are third in that span with 1,028 days under 500. Houston is second, and this is second best, with 1,007 days under 500. The Spurs have had 65.
I knew it was below 100. I forgot what it was.
Wow. There's so many ways to explain.
Speaks to what they've done.
How great Popovich is, but I think that might be one. I'm as much as I am a Mavericks fan, my team is out of this thing this year, but the Spurs are one of those teams that just, it's better when they're good. It's better when they're impactful. And I like the fact that they're putting a little something together here and that they are getting their claws in and letting everybody know that, look, we may not win it all. We probably won't win it all. But we are going to make it tough on somebody to get through a round. I like that. If Boston can start playing like Boston can play and the Spurs can start being the Spurs, that adds a little more seasoning to this playoffs for me.
Hopefully Boston is kind of getting there, but they had good production from everyone. I mean, the four guys who came off the bench all gave them something, and this is very Popovich turning this thing into a good defensive team and enough to put up 111 on Golden State last night.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Golden State was cold again from outside.
Yes.
Right? Really bad from three. The Splash Brothers not...
I have this here somewhere.
Splash Brothers not splashing very
much. Yeah, 33%. They weren't good. Durant 0-for-4 from beyond the arc. Curry 6-of-18. Klay Thompson was pretty good, 4-of-9. But yeah, I mean, you kind of wonder where their rhythm is.
I wonder if moving forward... I know when you get in a series, the easiest thing to do in the NBA is if it's not going your way and you're just not shooting well, you can just get to the next game. But I wonder if we'll start to see in-game switches where Steve Kerr can turn that thing and go more inside and focus on Cousins and focus on Durant getting and open up lanes where Durant can cut to the basket. Because that team, Kevin, they can get points in the paint in a way that no other team in the league can. And sometimes it frustrates me watching it. I'm like, well, guys, if you're not hitting out there, you can absolutely go live in the paint.
Yeah, and they do it with spreading and ball movement. Although Cousins, I know, went in for an MRI. Colton, did you see that?
Ooh, I didn't see that.
I saw that, but I didn't see the results.
I didn't either. So I knew he went in for an MRI, so we'll find out about that. My guess is he didn't play last night.
Spurs with a big win there. If you're a Spurs fan, you got to be enjoying this little bit of a run. Rockets obviously looking like a very good team as well as we get a little closer to the NBA playoffs. Before we go any further, let me tell you a little bit about sinus and snoring specialists. See if we can get you breathing better and feeling better, just like Dr. Slaughter did for me. Over 20 years of experience, the very latest in ear, nose, and throat technology. This is the most advanced treatments out there, the most unique treatments out there, and they can do all kinds of stuff for you, including helping you with those bad allergies. They have an allergy center where they'll test you for 50 different things at once without needles and then get a treatment that's designed to help you get rid of your allergies for good. I'm in the middle of that process right now and feeling great. Call and set up an appointment today. Tell them you heard it here on the horn. We do appreciate those of you that have already done that. 512-601-0303, or you can go to sinussnoringent.com. It's Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Feel clear, rested, and healthy.
And then something that does nothing for me, and I don't mean that in a mean way. I think it's, you know, it's cool, but it's definitely Mavericks fans were feeling it, and I could feel it on Twitter, and I know, and I get it. I get how excited they are, but Dirk gets passing Wilt for sixth on the all-time scoring list, and man, there were some people that thought they were, I could feel them crying on Twitter.
Wow.
I could feel the tears.
Like tears?
I know you're not I know you're a Mavericks fan. I know you don't watch them a lot, so that's probably didn't get you...
No,
too emotional.
I don't. Had I been watching live, I don't think tears would have been my reaction. First off, I did not know he was about to pass Will.
I didn't either.
Let me state that clearly. I don't follow these type of things. Where you are on the all-time scoring list doesn't immediately come to my mind.
Especially if you know it's going to happen.
Right.
And we've had that in all three sports. He's going to break it. Okay, well...
He went in needing, what, four?
So he's going to do it here or next game? Or
he needed four, I think.
Four, I believe. I think it was pretty early on.
But I will say...
It's pretty damn impressive.
It
is. We're not taking anything away from that.
Well, no, and that's why I was going to say, on a personal note, as a Mavericks fan, as a guy who doesn't own many jerseys, but there is a 41 jersey on my wall at
Whoa,
home.
Okay.
Okay, I got a Dirk jersey because he's the guy, he's the reason that my basketball team actually has a title that I never thought I would live to see. And I will tell you, as a Mavs fan, if you had told me at any point, like during the beginning of his career, if you had said, hey, Chad, there's going to be a day where he's going to sit on the scoring list, all-time scoring list, right between Michael and Wilt, I would have smacked you in the face. Like, I would have just told you you're absolutely crazy. So that part is cool. I'm not tearing up because of it, but it is cool that Dirk Nowitzki, that one of my guys is sitting there with Michael Jordan ahead of him, and he's not catching Michael because Michael's a little too far ahead, but he's got Michael Jordan ahead of him, and he just passed Wilt. That is pretty damn cool. But over emotion, I don't know that that's necessary. But you got to remember, they got nothing else to root for this year.
He's made almost 2,000. He's made 1,963 pointers in his career.
Good God.
I mean, as a 7-footer, he's a freak. We'd never seen anything like him. We were starting to. I mean, Kukoc was 6'11", so it's
yep.
And wasn't as good as Dirk, but was a good 3-point shooter, and we're starting to see that a little bit, but nothing like him.
Well, the key is Kukoc wasn't doing it right. He was shooting off of 2 feet.
And shooting left-handed for some reason.
Well, the left-handed, he's got to do that.
That's the other thing about Dirk. You're right. I mean, that whole one-legged knee out fadeaway.
That's what he preferred. That was his shot.
Uh-huh.
That's why
it's very much Mahomes. I'd rather not set up.
Yeah.
Right. Hold on. You feel more comfortable throwing that one off 1 foot? Yeah, dude. I played shortstop a lot.
Yeah. Take your fundamentals and throw them in the trash.
That's just how I feel comfortable. And that's the way Dirk was.
You can't teach anyone to shoot. At least you could tell someone theoretically. I could teach you to. You might tell a kid to shoot like Steph Curry in terms of the form of it.
Right.
You'd never teach anyone to shoot like Dirk Nowitzki. But yeah, that was cool. That was pretty cool. I did not realize he was about to pass Wilt. I was waiting for him to throw the line out about when you pass Wilt Chamberlain in a category that involves scoring, you got to be impressive.
Right.
You know, give the media a little something, but he didn't do that.
He probably would. He is easy to root for if you're not a Mavs fan. I'm not a Mavs fan, but just even at the All-Star game when they were doing the sing-along or he's got to name the song, then he's singing it. You know, he's a likable guy.
Yeah, good sense of humor.
Very much so.
Yeah, he's always had that. Never took himself very seriously.
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, you remember those pictures back in the day, one of the early years of social media-ish kind of stuff where the pictures of him and Nash at some Christmas party.
Oh, they were on shrooms. They were shrooming.
They were, high out of their minds on all kinds of stuff.
I think that's out. Whatever.
That was early 2000s, I think it was. But I remember all the way back to that.
Like, I knew someone who was there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
They brushed that off. I mean, Dirk never let those kind of things affect him. He just kept rolling. It was crazy. A lot of basketball out there. We've also got football. Today, in Oklahoma, the Cardinals are meeting with Kyler Murray. Now, that must be a heck of a meeting going on right now.
So this could be it. Is there any worry? I saw someone today say, "Hey, Kyler, may want to think about it again with Mike Trout's numbers." Yeah, Kyler ain't going to be Mike Trout. Trust me.
Nothing like that.
He's got a high ceiling in that sport. It's not that, though.
So let me ask.
So I doubt they're not worried about that. This is about, look, you're in the NFL draft, and should we take you? I bet you they know whether they want to or not. So is this about money?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's particulars. Fit. Right. Trying to talk. You want to go talk football. You want to talk leadership and things like that. My question to you would be, if it wasn't already pretty clear, if you're Josh Rosen today, is this the official end of the sentence? Is this the official period on the sentence other than the draft pick itself? But the fact that they're actually going through the process of meeting with him in Oklahoma, if you were their guy, they wouldn't do that.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, I know what you're saying, and you're right. But they can always say, look, we have the number one pick. We have to talk to everyone. And who's to say we're not going to draft him for someone and trade him right away, which I don't think they're going to do. These are all BS excuses.
I was going to say,
you give Joshua.
You wouldn't go to Oklahoma for that reason.
You give to Joshua. Yeah. We got to kick every tire.
Somehow I think Josh Rosen's past that point. I think he knows what's going on.
Well, I don't know. If he reads news like he reads defenses, he could be slow on this.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
I feel bad for Josh Rosen. They started off telling him, oh, yeah, he's our guy. And they're like, well, he's kind of our guy.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah,
he's our guy for now.
He's our guy now. And now.
Yeah. Well, and he's gotten rid of the social media stuff that has any ties with Arizona. So I never would have drafted him. So I've got no problem. I'd rather have Kyler than him.
And his numbers.
It's close, but I wouldn't risk either of them. But if you're in that situation and you've got a new coach now, then I've got no problem. The question is, do you get any value out of it? Like, I think whoever gets him gets value out of it because you're not going to get what you drafted back.
Yeah, that's what you have to argue with. You have to argue of where
what
he
was at 10 or 11.
Right. You have to argue where he was drafted.
You're not getting that.
Because his play, his early play, reflected your doubt. Yeah. It reflected it perfectly.
It did.
His pro football focus would tell you that his numbers were some of the worst they have ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, he was that A&M game in general was a good example.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, a lot of that first half was not his fault. So
I don't remember. Yeah, not necessarily.
But the second half, he showed you exactly what he can do. But that, you know, he there was some up and down in his game. And honestly, there's a little bit of worry with me of what kind of prima donna he is.
And also, maybe this is because I'm a fan of the team he was doing it against, and I hope I can be realistic on this. If I came out of that game really believing, holy hell, did you see Josh Rosen take that team on his shoulder and come back? That's not really what I felt after that game. I thought my team fell apart, and yeah. I thought my team, you know, obviously choked away that lead.
I felt both, in fairness.
I didn't necessarily think Josh Rosen was just incredible after that night. Maybe I'm just too close to that particular game.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was Montana's Super Bowl. But I do think that he made some big throws and made some rhythm throws and ripped a couple down the middle that you go, that's why I like Josh Rosen. And so you're right, maybe he wasn't completely taking him on his back, but the other thing was I was waiting for him to mess up and he didn't.
That's true. No, you're right about that. Absolutely right.
I kind of thought it was a gritty performance. Yeah, you know, because I remember.
Were you there at that?
I wasn't at it, but I remember watching it, and A&M destroyed it in the rushing game in the first half. And then I really remember them just not running the ball in the second half. They gave it to Kellen Mond and let him throw the ball.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys are right in terms of what A&M did, but you can also have A&M collapse and Rosen make some pretty good throws. I forgot, those two backs had tore up that first half. You guys just, that was just some peeing that away.
God, how do they not run the ball more, considering your starting quarterback got hurt? Dude, that's the game where Starkle hurt his ankle. Come on, Kevin Sumlin. All right, real quick before the break, Blake Bortles to the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
I did see that.
Now, you are the president of the Sean McVay fan club, and you're definitely the president of the Girlfriends fan club.
Uh-huh.
But you love what he is, and you love what he's all about. Do you think Sean McVay can find something in Blake Bortles?
I like experiments in life. I like a good litmus test. I like anything that'll really test the boundaries of a theory. Well, here you go, Kev.
Yeah. Yes.
Jamarcus Russell wasn't around?
Yeah, that's true. How dare you? How dare you? Come on, Bortles is better than that, right?
So apparently I heard someone today talking that Bortles has a pretty good sense of humor about it and will mock himself a lot.
Hmm. Okay.
And kind of knows that he's a backup. That was they didn't say that. That was what I took out of it. That, oh, you know, he's going to be a backup for the next 10 years and may not be a starter, but.
Dude, if he said that to McVay and that's why he's there.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe. And this could be. This could be what Spurrier is for Gilbert on steroids.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I heard somebody making that argument today that after a season or two or whatever it is, the rest of the league will look and go, oh, man, Bortles was there with McVay for a year. He probably, you know, worked out some of the kinks. Now let's call him.
Somewhere in that great house, hopefully next. I really hope they did it like Seal and Heidi Klum did. I hope there's naked pics all over that house. Not a Sean, more of her.
Yeah, exactly.
But naked pics of her. There is a Redskins number 8 jersey signed.
Mm, yeah.
With an inscription. I owe you my career.
I owe you everything.
Kirk Cousins.
That is right. I owe you all of it. All right, coming up, we'll get you the big.
That's serious, too.
Three. Oh, sure.
No, I mean, he did sign a Redskins jersey and said, I owe you my career. Thank you.
Wow. That's awesome. He should keep doing it
over
and over and over again. All right, Big Three coming up, including the Longhorns getting ready for Arkansas in baseball and Texas getting ready for South Dakota State in the NIT. Which event are you going to tonight if you're going to one of them? Send us a text on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Also, Rod Babers coming up with the Longhorn Insider segment. We'll talk some Kyler Murray and NFL draft and whatever else we can think of on the Horn. Chad and Kevin with you on a Tuesday. Colton, I know what it is. Any particular reason why?
Yeah, I kind of definitely made a fool out of myself. I was in Ramen Tatsuya. You ever been there?
I have not, but I mentioned yesterday on the show that you went there and you enjoyed it. Kevin and Trey, I believe, have both been there.
Yeah, and I was there with my girlfriend, and I looked over. I was like, you know who sings this? And she told me, and I went to town on it. And it's just been in my head since then.
Wait, she asked you if you knew.
I asked her if she knew who it was. Oh, I always quiz her on music.
She got it wrong?
No, she got it right.
Oh, she did get it right.
I was impressed by it. Okay, good. I just went to town with it.
Gotcha.
Just went to town, man.
So you've been all about Purple Rain ever since.
All about it.
All right, fair enough. By the way, remember the Indy cars are coming to COTA this weekend, so plan to stay after the race to check out Muse. Bucky and Aaron are giving away four packs of tickets through the 21st, so that's all the way through Thursday. So keep listening for your chance to win one of those four pack of tickets. For additional ticket info, go to hornfm.com or circuitoftheamericas.com. Let's get you a quick Big Three here, and then we'll talk to Rod Babers.
The Big Three.
It is brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. We mentioned that Kyler Murray is going to meet with the Arizona Cardinals today. They obviously have that first pick in the draft. Another NFL story that we have not hit today. A plea deal has been offered to Robert Kraft. All he has to do is admit that the evidence is such that if they had gone to trial, he would have been proven guilty. He also has to agree to 100 hours of community service, STD screening, a course on prostitution, and $5,000 per count he would have to pay. If he does all that, apparently the videotape, it may go away forever. It might be officially put under Florida law where it never, ever, ever gets out. So we'll see if Robert Kraft wants to make a deal, a plea deal. So far, he has said he is absolutely not guilty.
They had him on tape?
Twice.
Twice, huh?
Supposedly they have him on tape twice. I guess
during the act?
Yes, I believe. Both paying.
Who wants to see that?
Both paying for and engaged in the acts. I believe they have both of those. So I think they believe they have evidence, really clear evidence, that it's him. But then again, who knows how clear video is nowadays? You just never know.
No, I'm sure it's him.
But that plea deal has been offered. We'll see if Robert Kraft takes it. Elsewhere, Tate Martell is in at Miami. He gets the waiver, so he gets to transfer just like Justin Fields did, just like Shea Patterson did. Whether you have a good hardship story or not, looks like the NCAA wants to tell you yes. So maybe that will be good news for Brew McCoy at Texas. As far as Texas Longhorn sports goes, you've got two options tonight if you're in the area. Texas baseball, we'll start with the better team. Texas baseball hosting Arkansas for two. It is young Jack Neely, the freshman right-hander from San Antonio Churchill on the mound. 6'9", Jack Neely, if you have not seen him yet. An imposing figure. We'll see how he pitches tonight against Arkansas's Patrick Wicklander. Patrick is 2-1 with a 2.45 ERA so far. He's a young man from San Jose, California. And the Longhorns are taking on a group from way out west in South Dakota. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits are in town, and their leading scorer is a man named Mike Dom. They call him the Dominator. He averages 25-12. He's a 6'9 forward, number 9 on the all-time scoring list. So this dude can put it in the basket. No doubt.
Yep.
So Texas will be looking to try to advance in the NIT tonight as a number 2 seed. All right, there's your Big Three. Let's bring Rod Babers in, the Longhorn Insider segment. Let's see how far away. 25 days from the spring game, Rod Babers. Getting excited about Longhorn's spring game, Longhorn football?
I'm getting excited about it. I think it's one of those, you know, situations where you don't know what to really be concerned about. I think Longhorn fans are used to being paranoid and anxious around this time because we're always talking about quarterbacks and the quarterback competition and quarterback instability and all this kind of stuff. And now it's like, oh, well, we don't have to worry about that. And now Longhorn fans are like, so what should we be concerned about? Give me something to panic and be paranoid about. So I've switched my focus to the defense in terms of what to be paranoid or anxious about and what I focus most of my attention on.
First time in a while Texas fans, football fans, have had first world feeling problems.
Yeah, like it's right? Exactly.
First,
it's like,
world kind of problems.
Who's going to be the, you know, who's going to replace Gary Johnson? Like that's, you know, man, that's, right. You know what I mean? Instead of who's going to be the starting quarterback when we play the first game of the season, very different problems, like you said.
Or even worse, which we've had. Do we really have a starting quarterback?
Do we even have a starting quarterback? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it an actual competition or a battle of attrition? But on the defensive side of the ball, and I've been thinking about this, you know, I think that you're going to see Tard Orlando, specifically try to figure out those linebackers. To me, that's the biggest question mark. I think we saw versus Georgia, you're deep on the defensive line. And I even with, you know, Charles Minhu leaving and losing Chris Nelson and Brecken Hager gone, you still got Taquan Graham, you still got Malcolm Roach. I mean, they're a building block. You still got, I think, the young guys like Ojemo and Kendrick Coburn are going to be instrumental. So you got building blocks on the defensive line. Got so many building blocks in the secondary.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if there's a program in the country that has four better safeties than Texas does right now. And I'm including Bama in that conversation, too. I know that sounds crazy, but think about it.
Safeties,
Brandon Jones,
right.
Caden Stearns, B.J. Foster, DeMarvion Overshown. Those are five-star guys, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Best safety in the state when Brandon Jones came out. So I'm not worried about the secondary either. I like those young corners, Jalen Green and Anthony Cook. Man, the linebackers to me, that's what made you – you basically had the equivalent of Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith as your linebackers the last 2 years with Gary Johnson and Lee Jefferson in terms of the speed that translates, mm-hmm. right? You can't get around those guys. You can't replicate that. So what do you do now? Do you infuse the D-line with more speed and versatility, or do you compensate by putting more speed from the defensive backfield in the secondary to make up for the speed, the dynamic speed you're losing that linebacker? Because
mm-hmm.
none of those guys, as good as they are, Caleb Johnson and DeGabriel Floyd and Jeffrey McCullough, they can't run like Gary Johnson and Malik Jefferson, period.
Yeah.
They can't.
It's true.
And you guys are going to see the difference this year. You're going to be like, holy Chicago, I had no idea that, Texas could be behind the play, that badly. It's because those linebackers made up for a lot when they had that kind of makeup speed.
Well, we saw it whenever Anthony Wheeler was in that role and couldn't.
A good player. And he's a good player.
A good player, but it wasn't his strength.
There's only so much you can do in the Big 12 when those really good offensive minds start to strategize and game plan against your vulnerabilities, trying to exploit that. So for Texas, I think, to me, that's the biggest question mark. Who are you going to have at linebacker? You only need two. You're probably going to end up playing the 3-3-5 or 3-2-6 most of the time anyway in the Big 12. So who are those two linebackers? And is it Joseph Asai? This is the question. Because Joseph Asai is as good as everybody thinks he is. Then you may want to go to more of a three down lineman, four-man front
mm-hmm.
with a Sai on that edge rushing and then three down linemen. But then do you end up going a four, kind of a 4-1-6 look, with one linebacker that can kind of go, tackle to tackle and sideline to sideline?
But that
or,
six can turn it into two?
Yes.
Where it's that overshown,
there
what I mean?
You go. If you got overshown, then maybe it looks a little different because he can come in and play that.
Is that a 4-1-6 or a 4-2-5? It can be both.
I think that's what I want quarterbacks thinking.
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
So I can play down with his head in the dirt, or he can play up. So, yes, exactly what I want the quarterback thinking. Are they in a 3-3-5? Was that a 4-2? What is that?
Yeah.
And then that's all I need. I think Todd Orlando, the master of the art of confusion, he's going to use that to his advantage.
I love it. I think it's a great idea. And that Foster and Overshown with Stearns do seem to be those chips.
Yeah.
I can mess around with those three, mm-hmm. assuming Overshown really comes on.
Yep.
And We can have some fun and really mess with some people.
Yeah, because I just,
at least upstairs.
It goes back to Herb Hand with me. I just love the way that, and if you talk to those offensive linemen, they throw out that the Herb Hand wants everybody to play multiple positions or even work out at multiple positions. And now he'll figure out who's his next Elijah Rodriguez, who's his Kerstetter, who is his Denzel Okafor that can actually fill in inside or outside. But I think he loves the way you can cultivate a skill set by someone playing more than one position. And then the knowledge of the football IQ that increases by knowing what the guard is doing and what the tackle is doing, even though you're not playing that position. And I think it's worked out well. We saw even with injuries, it manufactures depth for you. I think the secondary and D-line, you should have the same approach if you're Todd Orlando. And Jeff Howell talks about it all the time. You want at least three guys on your defensive line that can play multiple shades and multiple fronts. And I think right now you got two. You got Malcolm Roach, who can play D-tackle. Hell, he played the nose tackle against Georgia at times. The nose. If he played nose tackle against Georgia, he can play nose tackle against anybody.
Yeah,
but right. He can play DN, play nose tackle, and then you got Taquan Graham, who's ideally, he can play multiple shades. I think Moro Ojemo might be the next one to watch for Todd Orlando trying to build versatility within the skill set of a D lineman. He's around the same size as a Taquan Graham and a Malcolm Roach. He's light right now, but he's 17, I think.
Yeah, he's still
a baby.
Young.
He's still got his baby body. So I think you want to have at least three guys. I'm thinking Moro Ojemo is going to be the one they're going to try to put in that role, but at least they have two guys now that play multiple shades. Think about how different you can make that D line with, Malcolm Roach. Oh, you know what? We need speed on the field. Put Malcolm Roach at D tackle. Let's put Taquan Graham at a defensive end, and then let's put Asai at a defensive end. I mean, there's just the more options you have, the more multiple that defense can be.
I know Charles is really excited about Ojemo.
I've heard great things about Ojemo, man. People say that his upside.
So you're the next Nigerian at UT. I saw him tweet that.
No, they say his upside could have him. He have a higher upside than anybody on that D line right now. Like if he, you know, meets expectations, but right. he's a long way away from that. You got to get with Yancey McKnight in that strength and conditioning program for a year or so, and that's what I'm excited about. Taquan Graham, I think now he's got the ideal body that Yancey McKnight and Todd Orlando want for him for their D lineman, and I think that's why he's going to be one of those guys. He and Malcolm Roach, because we've always loved Malcolm Roach, they're going to be the guys that are going to show up for you, and they're going to be the building blocks on that D line.
Are you hearing anything about Coburn? I mean, obviously we're taking that seriously.
The kidney issue. The good news is he has been released to participate in drills, but I don't believe he's been participating like actual practice stuff.
So that means they did the biopsy and
yeah. So he's in drills, right. Which is progress because he wasn't even participating in drills, but now he's in drills, so that's a good thing.
Hey, and real quick, speaking of progress, if y'all haven't seen it on Twitter today, the running back out of with the kids at
Darian Brown.
Saw that yesterday.
I'm not crying. You're crying. That was one of those videos. It was, man, that was deep. So, yeah, that's a great story, by the way.
The fact that he is out of, you know, out of the woods on a certain level and out of a hospital and able to just stand there and do a video
it's amazing.
And I don't think they've taken the football discussion off the table, but just good to see him living right now.
No question. Yeah. That was actually amazing. I mean, I've had people in my life, I'm sure you guys have, who have had strokes, and you see how it affects them. For that young man, I mean, that's a great recovery already that he's already, you know, talking. And there are thoughts that maybe he still wants to keep the dream alive and play football in the future. So good for him, man.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
It really is.
It's amazing what the human spirit can accomplish.
It was great to see. That's Rod Babers, weekdays 1-3 with the Rodcast. Have a great afternoon, Rod.
Go enjoy that NIT.
And speaking of
I'm watching NIT, brother. I'm going to get some pluckers for it, too.
Pluckers, NIT, new rules, 3-point lines moving, lanes getting wider. Rod's ready to go. Up next, we'll see if you're ready to go with the afternoon blitz. 447-3776. Get in line if you're not already there. Right after that, Kevin's got one and done for you. Coming up at 5, we're going to try to help you fill out your brackets with Chris Raybon of the Action Network. So don't move. It's the Horn.
The Horn's text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings.
The Blitz.
All right, let's see if we can get an afternoon blitz going. 447-3776 is that number. Jump in line if you're not already there. First blitzer on a Tuesday. You're up.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why it smells like hot Cheetos and Diet Mountain Dew. Then I realized Arkansas is in town tonight.
That's nice work. I like that. Blitzer.
That's a Friday night. That's a good meal.
Blitzer, no, that's true. Blitzer number two. You're up.
Yeah, when thinking about the Texas chances in the NIT combined with the chances that it's going to be a sellout in the bottom bowl tonight, I'd say it's probably a blended 6%.
Well done.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a sellout from what I'm hearing.
Ooh. Blitzer number three, you're up.
Hey, D.
Yo.
I'll be at the Longhorn game tonight.
Okay. Billy Bates? I'm like waiting for.
I know.
I think he's just being real. Okay. Well, good.
Is that I'm Tommy Penders. I was waiting for.
No, you know what it is. I'm UT fan is what that is.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Blitzer number four. You're up.
Well done.
Hey, Chad. How do Aggies practice safe sex?
How's that?
They get rid of all the animals that kick.
Oh, you know what? Hang on.
I don't think.
I'm 44.
I maybe, but.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
I don't think I have.
You know what? Credit to you. Yeah. I don't think I've heard that one. And finally, blitzer number five, you're up.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick tip of my cap to Coach Shock Smart for getting all of his players into the NIT. I heard you have to be a genius to make it there. This is Sterling Gilbert.
Sterling!
Coach,
that's
it. That's
the story of Mike Matheny. And the bird pool.
That's MIT, Coach. But we know what you're saying. Somebody texted us, NITNOT. So I don't think they're going to be watching that tonight or going to the game. Another listener, Kevin, wants to know if they can lower the basket a foot and 8 inches. How dare you? How dare you, Dexter?
That was fun. You ever play on nine-footers?
No, I didn't play enough basketball. But I know what you're referencing, but I never
so
did.
So much fun.
Yeah. I remember one time being over at somebody's house and we lowered it down so I could dunk it, but it was lower than 9 feet to get it that low for me.
Yeah, I didn't like playing. And the 8 footers could be fun. 9 footers is perfect.
That's the one?
Yeah, or okay. Maybe even 8.5, but nine was good.
If they had an entire league of just 9 foot, you'd have been in. You'd have been ready to go.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, a lot of at UT, a lot of the frat houses would lower that and you'd go over there and play some games.
Dude, remember when those baskets came around where you could actually... I mean, that was amazing. An amazing piece of technology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember.
You could crank it exactly to the... Oh, man.
I had a neighbor who had one. Dude. We thought it was so cool. It was like, we got to lower this and do a dunk contest.
Because I remember putting ours up in our driveway, and we had to measure from the ground, and we had the whole thing out, and my dad's tightening it up. And then nowadays, it's just crank.
Crank, yeah, five crank down.
You want 5.5, 8.5? What do you want?
Well, mine was actually probably... Well, I'm going to give myself too much credit here, but I'm going to use this as an excuse why I wasn't a good shooter.
Fair
enough. Because the one that I had at my house that my dad put up, it was already on an angle.
Oh, I see what you said. I see what you said.
But I was great at home court because
sure.
You had to shoot a little bit to the right on certain areas, and I mean, I had that down.
Have you noticed Kevin never plays ball at our house? Yeah, that's weird. Even when it's dark, he wants to play over at his place. Yeah, home court advantage. All right, speaking of Mr. Dunn, let's get you a one and done. We got a sponsor here, folks.
This segment brought to you by Texas Carn House, where every Thursday night is ladies' night. Ladies get 50% off club access fees from 11 a.m. Thursday all the way till closing time at 4 a.m. on Friday morning. Texas Carn House, Austin's premier poker club, texascarnhouse.com.
Here he is, the Craig Hodges of his day, Kevin Dunn.
A little Long Beach State action. Speaking of Long Beach, I think the Angels are actually trying to move there, and that may have been part of this as well. They want to make sure they have their guy to make their case. We'll see if that happens, but... this is good news for baseball, and I've been telling people this for a little while. Baseball's okay. Baseball's doing well. Now, maybe not in your world if it's all about polls or all about Twitter or all about maybe a younger generation, then you think baseball's dead. Well, $10 billion industry per year? If that's dead, then sign me up. I'll take a cold KD in 5 seconds, if that's the case. It's doing fine. Do they still need to market better, and do they need to market themselves to a younger generation? Absolutely, and they've done an awful job about that. I've also said that for years. So all that's out in front of the table, but the fact that the best player in our era gets this type of deal, and you could even argue that maybe he should have gotten a little more. I think he's going to be fine with the $430. it does speak to... we're not as in rough of waters as I thought we may have been heading to. And I said the same thing after Bryce Harper signed and got that type of deal. Baseball, they still need to look at things, and I'm so glad that they're being so proactive and also vocal being proactive and saying, we're going to come to the table before the CBA. We need to work on this service time. We need to work with you to make this sport better. Good news, though, that Mike Trout gets that and that the Angels were so willing the year before to say, oh, no, you? We got no problem. You name it, we'll pay it.
So when the Bryce Harper deal came out, it came out that there were no outs for him or the team. I haven't heard anything on Trout. Have you heard anything about opt-outs or no trades or any of that stuff?
Good question, and no, I have not, because it's kind of like they're finalizing. It's potentially okay. Going to be this, but that'll definitely be something to look at. You're right about that, because what if he gets to a point where he's just sick of losing and they're not winning and he's saying, man, I need to be in the playoffs. I'm 32, whatever.
Yeah, because what I love about this as a sports fan is that, you know, when we go old man and we gripe about sports back in the day and we say, oh, you know, before free agency, you knew guys and you learned teams and they went through the years and everything. I like the idea that these guys want to be somewhere for a long time, but it's just a matter of can they construct the sport? It's such a crazy sport in terms of trying to stay good all the time. Can baseball, specifically these organizations, construct good teams around them for 12 in one case and 13 years in another case? It's a big challenge.
It's a great question, and it's why Kansas City couldn't do this. And it's why it even makes their World Series run even that much. You can appreciate it that much more.
Mm-hmm.
And the scouting and the way that that organization came together, and even with a lot of things going against them, still got it done. The biggest thing for them is the $3 billion contract that is huge for their TV. They're getting paid with that.
See, that's one thing I don't know that a lot of baseball fans realize. So you're telling me they basically have a TV deal that is at least comparable to what the Yankees have with the Yes Network.
Absolutely.
And I would have never guessed. If you asked me that 3-4 years ago, I would have said, no, I don't think so.
And you probably would have said, oh, I believe there's a baseball team in L.A. that has that.
Yeah, they wear blue.
They wear blue, right?
I would not have thought that the Angels
and the Dodgers
that.
Have a very big deal too. So you know that you make your money off that, you're making money off the gates, and you're making money off apparel. And baseball's doing pretty well. It's also why these baseball players have asked, "Hey, where's all this going? Where are y'all hiding this? Where are the accountants hiding this?
Sure,
on the paper trail.
Yeah, great.
Because you have it.
Great for Trout. 12 years, $430 million.
My Cubs are broke though.
Yes. Well, they have no money, obviously.
There's no value in that brand.
Real quick, before the top of the hour, somebody texted in, Mount Rushmore of NBA coaches, Mike Brown, David Blatt, Ty Lue, and Luke Walton. It's well done. Well done. This says the Cardinals brought a tailor to Kyler Murray to get measurements for the first overall pick suit. That may be the case. And this Texas fan, Kevin, says...
They bring a kid tailor?
Yeah, they brought... That's true, exactly. They brought Peter Dinklage's tailor. No. And then someone else texted us, I'm going to be busy sticking my arm in an ant pile at about 8 o'clock. Less painful.
Ivan!
Then watch. Ivan's out there. I cannot believe you had a friend that stuck his arm in an ant pile because he liked to bust the whatever, the blisters?
He was one of those kids, though. He used to climb trees that he shouldn't climb. We'd all climb trees, but he'd climb trees. It's like, whoa, we're Damn. Seven. What are you doing, man?
He never fell?
Oh, he broke his arm. Yeah, no, he fell a couple times. Yeah, no, Ivan always had a cast on, so there's that.
Man, Ivan was hardcore.
He was. He was a real deal. Funny story, too, how life can change. My mom and I are going to Tokyo Steakhouse. I think I'm in high school or college, and Ivan was a chef there. One of the few white chefs chopping it up at Tokyo Steakhouse.
I thought you were going to tell me he was like standing with his hand on the grill, like, no big deal.
I like that.
It'll hurt in about 2 minutes. All right, man.
No, so I talked to them a little bit, and he's one of those guys, you have those people in your life that anyone else, that would have been baffling, shocking. I would have been like, what are you doing here? I go, no, that adds up. He's like, I was in Japan for a little while. I go, that adds up too. That makes sense.
Was he good? Was he good?
Yeah. Oh, did a good job. Did a really good job.
Killing it.
Yeah. That's flipping awesome. It on the hat and everything. Made the experience only that much odder.
Oh, Ivan, if you're out there, you are the man.
Now, that would have been fun if I would have experienced that with Dirk and Nash.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Things would have really been flying around the room. All right, coming up next, we'll try to help you with your bracket, just like the Action Network does. We'll reintroduce you to Chris Raybon of the Action Network. He'll tell you how the Action Network app could help you with your brackets. So don't move. It's the Horn.